We're incredibly lucky because in the studio with us at the moment, we've got Graham Pountney. And you may recognise his voice as soon as he starts talking, because he is the voice of Vectis Radio through all of our jingles. Welcome, Graham.
To the whole of the island and beyond.
Yeah, exactly. and you say at the heart of the island.
Oh, the heart of the island.
I know, it's fantastic. Well, it's brilliant, actually, to put a face to the voice.
Your listeners will appreciate that, the face to the voice.
Well, they will, because if you go to our website very shortly, we're going to be podcasting this
very
interview.
Nice.
And we will have your face up there. Brandon's going to take a photograph of you in a moment. You've had an extraordinary career. You've done lots of work on television, haven't you?
Yes, an interesting career. I first appeared in the Isle of Wight County Press in 1972 when I was at drama school.
Yeah.
And 76 when I left, and various bits and pieces like that through the way, and Howard's Way have also been in there, and
Judy and I used to absolutely love Howard's Way. Who did you play in Howard's Way?
I played a young man then called Mark Foster.
Right.
Who was... I unfortunately wasn't the love interest. My screen wife, Sarah Varley, was the love interest
for
Stephen Yardley. I ran a powerboat business and blew myself up in a powerboat accident, a pall of smoke.
Oh, yes. it sounds vaguely familiar.
We did a lot of stuff over in Southampton, of course. And
it was on the Hamble, wasn't it?
Yeah. On the Hamble, and got to drive a Class 1 size powerboat as well.
Oh, wow.
Which was really, really fun. Great fun. And then I also had my name as the navigator on a big yellow diesel powerboat. What was it called? It was called Weru Windows.
Yeah.
It was sponsored by a plastic window company. We never finished a race.
Oh.
We always broke down.
It was
it's quite weird.
But you've been coming back to the island since you were three, haven't you?
Yep, it's been a long, long time. I would say nearly 60 years have I been coming to the island. My parents first brought me as a little tiny child. And I've now got two strapping lads who like to come back down as well and sail. And trying to buy a little flat now.
Oh,
that's fantastic.
Oh, well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
It obviously has some... The island obviously holds very fond memories for you.
Oh, definitely. Mm. Yeah, definitely.
But you're here for a very special reason at the moment, aren't you?
I am plugging something.
That's fine. We love plugging.
I've just been doing two rather special plays up in the City of London in St Bartholomew the Great Church in Smithfield, and we're bringing the two plays to the Ventnor Fringe Festival in August. Starts on the official opening on the 11th of August and runs to the 16th of August in Ventnor. However, our plays have a preview night the night before on Monday the 10th. And if you mention my name and you heard me on Vectis Radio, can get 50% reduction.
Wow. Oh, well, this is brilliant, because Judy has been itching to buy tickets, haven't you?
I have. The two plays that you're bringing, we'll talk about them more in a moment, Richard II by Shakespeare and Edward II by Christopher Marlowe, they've been on my list of things to get tickets for. So I'm glad.
Oh,
I'm
fantastic.
Glad I hadn't got tickets until we met you.
Well, I'll do you a deal, my dear.
Thank you.
Life.
And what's so exciting for me is that you're currently showing these plays in London at St Bartholomew the Great.
Mm-hmm.
And that church, for me, has two claims to fame. The first is that I was christened there, as was my brother. And secondly, that was the church, wasn't it? In Four Weddings and a Funeral.
It was.
Right.
Where the Hugh Grant character got married.
Or slapped,
yes. And so a lot of our listeners may actually have seen that church already on the film. Beautiful
church, sort of in the heart of the hospital as well, isn't it?
It is, right, all wrapped round by the hospital itself.
Yeah.
It's a glorious, glorious place. Now, why do Shakespeare and Marlowe in a church? Because it is extraordinarily atmospheric and adds to the value of the plays, which is why we're doing it in Holy Trinity Church in Trinity Road in Ventnor.
Yeah.
And it's going to be absolutely magnificent, because it's almost identical in entrances and exits and fights.
Very nice.
And dances too within the whole environment of that church. So it's not polemicising, whatever it is, or trying to turn people into Christians or goodness knows what. It's just a brilliant venue, and the music sounds fantastic in it.
Is it a promenade performance, or will the audience just be in one place and you'll go around them?
The audience will be traverse, so they'll be seated on both sides of the auditorium, as it were, looking across. So across the nave,
right?
Maybe 150 seats. So looking at each other, and the actors work in front of them and behind them and round the back of them all the time for a couple of hours. It's brilliant. It's beautifully lit. Mm-hmm. Glorious costumes. We've got medieval costumes, and for Edward II, we've got something rather special. We're going into glam rock.
I know, that sounds that's absolutely amazing.
80s style music, glam rock.
Are you going to be wearing flares?
Well, we've actually got pinstripe suits and mussy hairstyles with chainmail.
Oh, okay.
And the king wears sort of fake leather and studs.
Yeah.
And has a slight sort of twist into the S&M gay market.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So something for everyone.
Didn't Edward II sort of die in a horrible way with a poker?
It absolutely right. We have the red hot poker.
Yeah, exactly.
He dies in front of you with a poker up the backside.
Yeah. I did remember that's how he died. Not a very nice way to go, is it?
No, not every schoolboy knows that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm looking at you, Sam.
I really love it when productions bring a modern twist to Shakespeare, because for me, a lot of people say it's gimmicky, but I don't think it is, because I think you can just get so much more out of the play if you come at it from a slightly different angle.
You can. I'm personally a purist about it.
Uh-huh.
I started a company called the Original Shakespeare Company, which worked on doing Shakespeare as the 16th century actors used to do, and therefore do it in the costume as well. It all made a lot of sense.
Yes.
But bringing new ideas and new angles into this, especially for the Marlowe, which is Edward II, looking at the sort of gay feel to it, and in this instance the glam rock style to it, does really bring it to the fore, because Marlowe was explored and talked about as the gay rock icon of the 1600s. He was a wild boy.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did. He was the sort of guy who'd go out for a drink and then knife someone.
Yeah, yes. But he ended up dead, didn't he?
He did.
He died in quite mysterious circumstances.
Yeah, no one was quite sure. He never left the pub alive.
And
which pub was it? Was it one on the old Kent Road?
No, I think it was down in Deptford.
Oh, Deptford. Yeah. Well, it's still a bit like that in Deptford.
And I think there was talk that he might have been a spy. Or was that all just part of the persona? And
I don't know. He did leave the country several times.
And there was talk that he might have been Shakespeare.
And then come back. From the quality of the writing between the two plays, when they were both at the height of their, let's call them Shakespeare and Marlowe, names, the writing is totally different.
Is it? Yeah.
Totally different. I don't think Marlowe could have written the way Shakespeare wrote. Shakespeare definitely didn't write the way Marlowe wrote, because it's harder to work and learn Marlowe than it is Shakespeare.
Oh,
although Shakespeare's characters have a sort of lump of verbiage which you sort of get through and work with, this particular play in Edward II from Marlowe just doesn't have that. It's a quick, sharp repertoire crack back with your opposite number, and he goes over the same material several times.
Right.
In much the same way, because basically his audience was a passing audience. They charged into the theatre, they saw it for a bit, and they needed to get quickly reversed in where they were in the play.
Right.
Shakespeare's lot came and stayed and enjoyed the afternoon or the late evening with the play.
Right.
So do you think that because the language of the Marlowe isn't as poetic and as beautiful as the Shakespeare, that it's more important to give it a bit of a twist, like the glam rock twist, to sort of generate
I think it
a bit
works
of
well. It works really well. Mm. There's lines in there which you could hear on the street today.
That's amazing.
It's extraordinary. It's really blunt and easy to understand.
Yeah.
Bowls along with terrific speed. And
so ideally,
and the sword fighting too. I mean, it's fantastic, right in front of your very eyes.
Ideally, listeners would come to both.
Yes,
but
and you can get a 2-for-1 deal.
Oh, really?
Two plays for the price of one.
Yeah.
If you buy them both at the same same purchase.
Well, look,
at the same time of purchase.
It sounds like it's going to be a sort of an amazing crew. I'm just reading some extraordinary book, funnily enough, by my side at the moment, called The Rules of Acting by Michael Simpkins. I don't know whether you know that.
I know Simo, yes.
Do you? Oh, it's a fantastic book. I'm just on the section on production at the moment. Funnily enough, you're co-producing this, and I don't envy you, because it sounds like production is an absolute nightmare.
You're right.
Yes. How's it going? How did you get into the production side?
Well, I'm not as young as I was. I'm a little older. And
Don't look it to us.
Thank you so much. The frequency of roles has stretched a little bit. There's a longer period of resting between them. So in order to get life still happening and food on the table and stuff happening, I've turned to a little bit of directing and a little bit of producing. So I produced a play just last autumn called The Taking Steps,
yes,
by Alan Ayckbourn.
Yeah.
A lovely play which I was hoping to bring to Ventnor Festival this year. Never managed it.
Yeah.
The date was still available.
Aww.
So the production which I've been in, and Richard II and Edward II, I offered to them to say, I've got a date in Ventnor in yeah, August. Would you like to take it up? And they all said yes.
Ah,
so
fantastic.
As a result of that, I am rather dumped into being a co-producer.
But you're not just a co-producer, are you? Because you have two roles in each of these plays.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a leading actor within them.
How extraordinary is that?
Well,
you must be really busy.
Well,
we're
definitely going to be there. Half price or not, I think it's going to be fantastic. Because it is lovely when, you know, really good quality Shakespeare and the more classical plays come to the island and then well done.
These will be exceptionally well done. We are 5 stars. 5-star reviews for both productions in London, and they're coming down intact here. No cuts, as it was done in London.
Oh, that's amazing.
So you'll get the quality stuff that we were doing. Because the island deserves it. The island doesn't get this.
Thank you.
Yeah, no,
we
absolutely agree. And later on, we've got Brian Daniels on the phone talking about the stuff he's bringing down here.
Brilliant.
With 4- and 5-star reviews. So it's amazing that all this good quality drama is coming to the island. So if people want to get those tickets, how do they go about it?
They phone Ventnor Exchange Box Office.
Yep.
And I don't know the number.
Don't worry.
Okay, folks. We'll give out the number later on the programme. So pens and paper at the ready, please.
And you can do it online as well at boxoffice.ventnorexchange.co.uk.
Fantastic. Well, I think most people are going to be online because they're listening to us online. So
absolutely.
That is so brilliant. Do you want to just repeat that?
boxoffice.ventnorexchange.co.uk.
Well, that's a real treat coming up.
Good. You've got to ask for Richard II and Edward II. They're playing on alternate nights, so you can come to both.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, we're not doing anything. We're in the carnival. So you can come and see us instead in the carnival. But we've got matinees as well.
Are you in Glamrock?
We are. We're in Glamrock
fantastic.
And Medieval, and
fantastic.
We're desperately trying to find a truck to go to take us around.
Okay.
So if any of your listeners know of a flatbed or a pickup, we'd be so keen to have you
alongside. A flatbed or a pickup.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we won't say what's going to happen in a red hot poker.
No.
At the end of the carnival, will we? But it's going to be, it sounds like it's an amazing couple of evenings.
Great fun. We're running right the way through from Monday, which is our preview night.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, so it's not
two
just
on Saturday and matinee on Wednesday. We may even add an extra matinee either on Thursday or Friday. Depends if you guys buy lots of tickets.
Okay, so it's not a couple of evenings. It's a cornucopia.
It's a cornucopia. I'll do that.
Yeah.
It's a whole week. We're taking Holy Trinity Church for a whole week. We've got daytime talks about original Shakespeare stuff.
Yeah.
About
wow.
How it's what it's like to perform in a glam rock costume playing Shakespeare stuff,
yeah,
you know, written by Marlowe, and what it's like being in medieval kit when you're doing all this lovely poetry.
Yeah.
And then we're going to change them so that those people who play in a medieval outfit will get to wear the glam rock stuff and tell you what it's like. And we'll get people coming up to do it as well. We've got sword fighting stuff. We've got our director, Cecilia, is an aficionado on Marlowe and all things sort of 1600. She was a scholar at, I can't remember, Oxbridge, one of the two of them. And so she could join you there, James.
Fantastic. Yeah,
fantastic.
We've got daytime stuff as well, so let's take in the whole thing.
We'll be there.
Thank you very, very much, Graham. Best of luck with all the production.
Thank you.
And we look forward to seeing you on stage very shortly.
Yeah, break a leg, as they say. Yeah,
from the heart of Newport.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This is Practice Radio. Yeah.